But with that from Stadium, he does brilliant work. Always welcome as a guest here because his value to us is off the charts. That's Brett McMurphy from Stadium. Brett, welcome. It's so great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks. Never a dull moment in college athletics, that's for sure.
No, never. And what was it, the old saying, may you live in exciting times?
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
It's exciting times. Well, so let's get to it. We know what Texas and Oklahoma did today. They said, "Hey, we're not gonna keep moving forward with you guys." Okay, that's fine. So, how long do you think it takes for them to come to an actual agreement with the SEC, or is it already in place?
Well, informally, it's in place, but officially they have to apply for membership. And then once that happens, then the 14 university presidents officially have to vote on them. But this vote's been decided a long time ago, or it would not have got this far. So that's semantics. That will happen. It may happen while we're on the phone. It may happen next week. The bigger question is, when that does happen, the lawyers get involved. And all the language you're going to see today is how Oklahoma and Texas and the Big 12 expects them to stay in the league through 2025. Well, we know the lawyers will get involved, and I think they'll reach a settlement, and that will obviously take several weeks or months, but I think you'll see Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC in 2022. Similar to the last round of realignment where schools were tied into their conference for 3 or 4 years and they all were able to get out and play the next season by reaching settlements with their respective conferences.
All right, so now if you're an athletic director today in the Big 12, you're an athletic director at TCU, Texas Tech, Kansas, whatever, you're having all these conference calls with the conference and with your current partners. Does it become every man for himself at this point?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm on a call with you right now, and I'm talking to the Big 12. Hey, guys, we need to keep it together. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. And then the second you hang up, you call the ACC. You call the Big 10. You call the Pac-12. Hey, this is why we're attractive to you, da-da-da-da-da. Because you can't just sit there and sit back and think, oh, somebody's going to take care of us. The commissioner of college football is going to take care of us. There is no commissioner of college football.
That's right.
Each conference is going to do what's best for itself, 100%. If the SEC, and I'm not blasting the SEC, but the SEC is doing what's best for the SEC, saying that the Big Ten would do what's best for the Big Ten. But when the SEC makes the decision to add Oklahoma and Texas, do they consider that it could impact the Sun Belt? Do they the trickle-down effect that it could blow up the Big 12. Certainly they don't want to do that, but their top three priorities are what's best for the SEC, what's best for the SEC, what's best for the SEC. So, yeah, these other schools, they're going to be a willing partner to try to work things out to keep the Big 12 together. But bottom line is, if Kansas and Iowa State, which are AAU universities, which the Big Ten obviously covets very much. If they get an invite to the Big Ten, and oh, by the way, you're going to make more money by playing in the Big Ten, does anyone honestly think they're going to say, you know what, I told the Big 12 we'd stay and keep the band together with eight schools? No, they're out the door. So it's unfortunate. That's the reality. And it, again, once again, shows that money's the most important thing for college athletics.
Greg Sankey made a very interesting statement last week when he was talking about the future of college sports. And I don't know if he was talking about NIL or whatever it was at the time. And essentially what he said was the SEC needs to do what's best for the SEC. Did what happened with some of the decisions on COVID last year, especially in the Big Ten, affect the thinking of how the SEC now looks at the big picture of the college landscape?
I don't think so. I think obviously that was hard for everybody financially. No fans, limited number of games, the schedules were in flux. I do think though one thing that came out of it showed how valuable the SEC was for the SEC, and that was by playing 10 conference games.
Yeah.
They were the television inventory, the television partners are like, wow, 10, you know, you only have 8. Man, if you could have 10, look at all these matchups. So I think that helped expedite the thinking that, well, okay, I don't know if we want to go to 10, but maybe if we add 2 members and get to 16, then we can do 9. And then plus, keep in mind the college football playoff set to expand to 12 teams. You don't have to win the SEC to get in the playoff. You have
to win
the Big 12 to get in the playoff. But as we've seen in past years, I looked at the last 7 years of the playoff, if we would have had a 12-team playoff in place, there would have been 3 years the SEC would have got 4 of the 12 teams in a playoff. That never will happen, never would have happened at the Big 12. And so that's part of the reasons why Oklahoma and Texas left, and partly why the SEC sought, you know, 2 bell cow programs such as Oklahoma and Texas.
All right, so a primary partner for the Big Ten is Fox, because obviously they own 51% of the Big Ten network, plus they have the Tier 1 rights along, you know, with ESPN. They share those rights, but Fox has a bigger piece of it. Does Fox play a role in what the Big Ten thinks?
Yes, it does. But that's going to be tricky because basically the ESPN is all in on the SEC. They took over the CBS deal. I think that runs for a couple more years, and then every game will be on ESPN. So obviously that creates the most value for ESPN. The Big Ten, it gets tricky because of their relationship with Fox. And now the question is, their deal's up in a couple of years. How much will ESPN want to be a part of the Big Ten? Certainly, I think I'm not saying they're casting them off, but is the financial incentive going to be there as much now that they basically have the SEC? The Big 12 is probably going to implode. They've also got the ACC completely. So they've basically locked up, you know, 30 of the top 65 schools in the country. So that's going to be tricky. And then once the Big Ten is done negotiating with Fox and ESPN, what, if anything, is going to be left for the Pac-12? They're obviously hindered by geography. I'm sure they're hoping that Amazon, Netflix, Apple, all these different non-traditional media outlets will start televising live games. But until that happens, it's going to be some nervous next few months, next few years, for some of these conferences not named the SEC or the Big Ten.
Exactly. Well, see, the one thing that ESPN needs to avoid, though, they need to avoid having their college football entity be NASCAR, where they're cutting off a huge part of the country.
But they would argue if they make more money off of that regional NASCAR, that's a perfect analogy, but if they're going to make more money off of that than they are by just spreading it across the country to teams with smaller profiles, then I don't think they'd have an issue doing that. Remember, this is and I used to work for them. They didn't cover the NHL. They just did a deal with the NHL. Now you'll see them on SportsCenter every night. So they can just turn it on and off however they want.
Excellent point. My point now is going to be this. Okay, so the Big Ten is sitting there with 14. Now, we've seen what the grant of rights happens to be with the Big 12. They ran out or will run out in 2025, June 30th, 2025. Is that the same for the Big Ten, that theirs would run out on June 30th, 2023? Because that's when their TV rights are up. Does that mean the Big Ten grant of rights are up at that same time?
Yes, I believe they're all run in at for the conferences. They're all aligned with the TV rights.
Got it. Okay.
So yeah, whenever you do that, whenever you do a new TV deal, that extends your grant of rights. So it's like the ACC. You know, the last time the Big Ten expanded, they made overtures to several ACC schools. I don't think that's any secret. They weren't able to get any ACC schools, but since that happened, the ACC grant of rights now goes out through 2036.
Yep.
So if the Big Ten wants to try to go back and try to grab a couple of ACC schools, good luck. Because it's one thing for OU and Texas to get out of a 3 or 4 year deal. It's another thing for an ACC school to get out of a 15-year deal.
Right.
And if you bring up the N-word, Notre Dame, they are contractually obligated to join the ACC if they join a conference before 2036. So
exactly.
I don't think that's a realistic option either for the Big Ten.
So let's take this further. They're bold moves. Sometimes staying pat's a bold move. You know, you want to be bold and smart. Sometimes staying pat's bold and smart. But say you want to expand out. Obviously, Big 12 schools are an option. Are Pac-12 schools an option because their media rights run out June 30th, 2024? Are Pac-12 schools an option for Big Ten conversation?
You know, I would never say never. I would think it would be unlikely that a conference would want members on in the West Coast and East Coast. But, you know, look, it's once you're on a – I've had the ADs tell me once you're on a plane, you're on a plane. So you can get there that way. If I was commissioner of the Pac-12, this is what I would try to do. Or the Big Ten. Obviously, they're partners with the Rose Bowl. I would get the two leagues. I don't think it makes sense for the Big Ten to go and add teams on the West Coast. I know what the value it would bring to TV would be tremendous, but what are you going to do? I know it's all about football. What do you do with your non-football sports? How do you do that? I guess you could have two different pods. You maybe never cross the country except for conference championships, whatever. Right. What I would do instead is, if I'm the Big Ten, I do a schedule. They were supposed to do this a few years ago. They never did. Scheduling agreement with the Pac-12 where we are going to – each Big Ten team is going to play two non-conference games against the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is going to play two non-conference games a year versus the Big Ten. Now, what that does is now that suddenly opens up the West Coast for Big Ten recruiting because now Big Ten schools can say, look, at least once a year, we're going to be playing out in California, Arizona, Washington, et cetera. And so also on the flip side, the Pac-12 schools can say, hey, every year, we're going to come play in Ohio, Michigan, Illinois. So maybe they can get kids from that area to come out west. If you schedule two games, non-conference games between the conferences, you're guaranteed one home game against the other conference and one road game. So you would always be going out to that other part of the country. That's what I would do. Of course, they don't pay me anything for this, so it's probably not a good idea. But I think that makes more sense than the Big Ten trying to say, well, we want to get up to 16, 18, or 20 members, and we're going to go add 6 or 8 Pac-12 schools. When, in essence, once you get over 16, and some people have told me, when you get to 16, you're not a conference anyway. You're 2 18 divisions. I kind of agree with that. If you go over 16, you're not a conference anymore. You're the NFL. You're just an entire league, and I think it changes everything.
League. To get to 16 in the Big 12, who would be attractive, in your opinion, to the Big 10? Because, look, if you're negotiating a TV deal, as you and I both know, I know the conference office gets a slice. I got it. Okay, so let's take them off the table. Let's just do this in simple numbers. You got 14 slices of pie. Well, if you're going to have 16, you better have a bigger pie. Is there anybody in the Big 12 that's attractive enough with what they have to the Big 10 to make the pie better?
I don't think so. And I know that I can guarantee that the Big Ten is already looking into that now. They have consultants doing it. They're trying to crunch the numbers. Their TV partners are doing it. That is the question. Now the other way to look at it is if you can't get a Notre Dame, if you can't get some of these AC schools you wanted, And basically, you're not going to get anybody from the SEC. So all you're left with is the schools from the Big 12. There is some thinking that, okay, if we're, again, Kansas and Iowa State, I mentioned earlier, they had the AAU status. I think they would be the most likely. Doesn't mean it's a lock or it'll happen, but I think they would be the most likely. But there is some thinking that even if by adding two schools, that each school is making less money per school than as a 14-team member, what is it worth to the league to have a 16-team conference? Is that worth anything? Not financially, but just far as perception, as far as strength, as far as unity, those sort of things. Is that, you know, is that pie in the sky, or is that something real? I don't know. That's a philosophy that the Big Ten's got to decide what they want to do, and ultimately they will make that decision. I think ultimately if they decide that, look, the SEC's at 16, everybody's going to be at 16, do you want to pick your next two teams as soon as possible, or do you want to be the last conference to 16, and you know, who knows what you're going to end up with that point?
Brett, always a pleasure. I know you've been busy. You're doing awesome work, and you're appreciated very much. Thank you so much.
Hey, you got it. Thank you.